Amen. Well, way to be blessed by a mother and daughter, right? Thank you very much for reminding us because he lives. Appreciate that. Where'd she go? Hey, I told you I'd be there in about 5 minutes. So will you quit calling every 30 minutes and reminding me? Just a little thing, isn't it? When you think about it. Guy runs out of gas, calls his wife. Wife comes, picks him up, takes him to a gas station, fills up the can, goes back to the car. Wasn't too long, he comes back and gets in the car. She says, what's happening? Said, well, he says, we need to go back to the gas station. So what, wasn't there enough gas in the can? Yeah, he said, been fine, he said, if I'd put it in the right car. Just a little thing, right? When you think about it, as far as life is concerned, we've all heard of Little John. You know who Little John is? Big John, but a Little John, right? How about Stuart Little? I mean, think about little, the word little, as it relates to us. That's how it related last Lord's Day, you know. Dynamite comes in small packages, little packages, right? The aspect of that is little. When the creation was done and God created everything, he made it all of atoms, right? Atoms are really, really so tiny, you can't even see them with the naked eye. You have to have a microscope to even begin the aspect of that. Yet these little things, those things, when they're harnessed together, has created more fear in the world than any little thing that could ever be imagined. It has power because once it's harnessed together, what it can do and the aspect of it and destruction power it has is beyond our dreams, the aspects of it. When you think of Korea, or you think of Iran, when the perspective of Russia, United States, and so on, they're basically little nations, really, in comparison, very little. Yet those are the very center of the focus of most things that are happening in our world today, aren't they? When you really get down and think about it, the aspect of it, because it has become the focus point of so many things. A man walks across America, USA, 1970. As he gets to the other end and accomplishes his goal, they came up to him, interviewed him, asked him, what one thing hindered you more than anything else in your goal of reaching and walking across the USA? He said, and quote, it was the sand that got in my shoes. Little thing. But isn't it amazing that it's the little things that can hinder us, even in our walk of life? When you really evaluate it, just a little thing. The little things that so many times eat at us, get to us, and control us in relationship to life. The Song of Solomon in chapter 2 and verse 15, Solomon writes about the little foxes. He writes in these words, catch the foxes, the little foxes for us, the little foxes that are ruining the vineyards while our vineyards are being and are in blossom. Solomon 2, the little foxes, you know, can you see them out there tilling the soil, planting the seed, watching the vines grow, reach the point of blossoming, ready to, if you will, bear the fruit, and here comes these little foxes along and just literally destroying every aspect of what they had worked so hard to do. The little things. Right now, I got little things in my backyard. They're called red squirrels. I've caught 14 red squirrels so far and taken them out beyond in the country and let them go. I have one more little baby red squirrel that I have not been able to catch. And you think that really gets my goat? I mean, because I know he's getting up in my house. He's in my attic. I can hear him sometime in the early mornings. Oh, that little thing. Man, I'm going to keep after him. I'm going to get him. My wife won't let me shoot him. So I'm bound to trap him, okay? And I'm going to catch that little thing. There would have been four babies. I've got three, got one more to go. So pray for that little one. So let's look at what God's word says about little things. You ever want to just look at God's word and see what he says about little things, the aspects of it, and how it indeed has affected and affects people's lives today? In Proverbs chapter 6, we start. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. Proverbs has a lot of wisdom, isn't it? In it, doesn't it? But yet this is what Solomon was guided to say, related to, if you will, the subject of laziness. It says, how long will you lie down, O slugger? Who is a slugger? Slugger is one who is a habitual lazy person. That's who a slugger is. When will you arise from sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Your poverty will come in like a vagabond, and your need will be like an armed man. Laziness. Did you know that basically we are lazy? We are. We're basically all lazy. It takes a motivating aspect of being responsible to be moved to do what we know we're accountable or responsible to do, right? Right? But a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hand, what does it bring? Brings about a vagabond. A vagabond is a person who is homeless. Homeless. Our cities are becoming filled with homeless people. They've interviewed many of them. Many of them were doctors. Many of them were lawyers, attorneys, people who had and was a part of a very significant vocation and whatever, as far as life is concerned. And they've interviewed and gone into many, many of these cities, and they've found New York, Los Angeles, so on, all cities that have a mayor who's a liberal. All cities where there is a conservative are thriving. Jobs are available, etc. What happens in these liberal cities is that they destroy the ability, the motivation of people to do it. They take the motivation away from doctors. They quit. They get on drugs. They get on whatever it is. And the cities are filled with homeless people. Tents, blankets, boxes, whatever, filled all over the world, all over the place. Because liberalism, socialism, promotes laziness. If you can get something for nothing, people, the majority of people out there will be more than happy to be able to, a little more sleep, a little more slumber, a little more folding in the hand. I don't have to do a thing for it. The government will give it to me. Don't kid yourself. It will destroy us as a people. As the other nation, Venezuela was once time a very wealthy nation. You know that, don't you? Look at it today. Poverty-stricken, filled with drugs and alcohol and whatever, as far as the aspect of it. You and I are experiencing today a trauma that had never... I was taught to work. I was taught to work. I was taught to take responsibility. I was taught when I saw something need to be done, I wasn't needing to have somebody ask me to do it. Mom and Dad didn't have to ask me to do it. If I saw there was something to be done, I took the responsibility, I did it. Find that today. Find that even in the adult world. A little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, and your need will be like an armed man. Secondly, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, 1 through 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, 1 through 3. You need to yellow this, underline it. Okay? You need to read this every day, for a while anyway. Listen to what it said. It's going to be shocking to you, but it's reality. God's word spoke way back when about foolishness, and this is what it said. Dead flies make a perfumer's oil stink. You don't think God's word has some humor in it? So a little foolishness is weightier than wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart directs him towards the right. What? What are you saying, God? A wise man's heart is directed towards the right, but the foolish man's heart directs him towards the right. Are you reading it? To the left. Even when the fool walks along the road, his sense is lacking and he demonstrates everyone that he is a fool. And brother, you're seeing it today. You're seeing the left move farther and farther and farther to the left, aren't you? Now, if you want to read some books that I got, you can read them, because that'll tell you exactly what has happened to our country today because of the left-wing liberals in our society and what they're doing to our country today. They're trying to destroy the aspect of capitalism, free enterprise, Constitution, Declaration, and why is it doing it? Because they want control. They want to rule and rule and rule our lives. They want that power. Now, think about it, because your battle isn't against flesh and blood. It's against spiritual wickedness, rulers, spiritual powers in high places. Have you ever read Ephesians 6? Huh? Right, but that's what's happening, people. And the aspect of that is just unbelievable. It is unbelievable. Now, I'm not a Democrat, not either am I a Republican. I am a Christian. But when I vote for somebody, I want to know they are wise, have honor, and are not foolish. They think straight. They think according to principle. They have principle. They live by those principles. And they would die for the principles if they needed to, okay? You see, because if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for everything. You know that? Huh? Every dead fish can float downstream. And the currents of today needs you and me more than ever today to do what we have the right and ability to do, and that is to speak up, to use our voice, our lives in such a way that it will make a difference to our neighbors, to our people, because there is a lot of lack of common sense, a lot of foolishness. You listen to how they reason. They have no answer, no aspect, because they have moved further, farther, and farther to the left. Isn't it amazing that God's word directs the righteous, the wise, to the right, and the foolish go to the left? Have you ever read that? Galatians 5:9-12, just a little verse and an aspect of all of it, but here we find that there are those Judaizers who are trying to make legalism a part of their maintain of salvation. Call it be circumcised. You had to be circumcised. You had to be circumcised in order to be saved. The aspect of that, of course, is that it began to infiltrate in the book of Galatians and throughout the Christian world. In that context, as you will read it and as it was read for you on the screen today, it simply said a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. A little leaven, a little bit of legalism, allowing it to permeate into the minds and hearts of people, will leaven the whole lump. It will, indeed, is a powerful act. Legalism. What does legalism do in the context of the church? It's where you speak according to your own opinion that have no reference nor authority in the context of Scripture. We know that God's Word teaches very clearly that as it was, and there's no question about it, that Jesus came and destroyed the law. That legalism and circumcision was meant only for the Jewish male, no other person. None. Had nothing to do with the Gentile world. Had all to do with the covenant that God made to Abraham. Yet in the context of Scripture, there were those who were making legalistic concept that if you weren't circumcised, you weren't going to heaven and you'd go to hell. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? Legalism hasn't died. It's just as much alive today as it ever was. And a little legalism. I mean, look what that instrument has done in churches of Christ throughout the world. Those who say that if you use it, you're going to hell. Why? They have no biblical grounds for it. All they can argue for is the Bible is silent on it. Now, I don't know how silent you have to be, because I know that in heaven there's going to be trumpets, there's going to be vials, there's going to be harps and whatever. And I do know that when Jesus comes, it's going to be accompanied with trumpets, right? Right? I know that Revelation talks all about different instruments. I know the Old Testament is filled with. In fact, the Psalms was written by David accompanied with an instrument, wasn't it? And yet the Bible says in Colossians, we're about to sing and make melody in our hearts unto the Lord with psalms, hymns, spiritual song. The Greek word psalms is silo, meaning music accompanied with the instrument. Now, if we weren't to sing with an instrument anymore, then God should have said through the Apostle Paul, no longer accompanied with an instrument. But Paul didn't make that clear. Didn't make it. Legalism becomes such a part of every aspect, and when it does, it just, I believe legalism destroys the Holy Spirit's ability to work in the hearts of people. It destroys love, destroys fellowship, it destroys the very intimate relationship that we could have. All it does is relate back to many times that my opinion is better than your opinion, even though I don't have any biblical reference for it. Legalism is the result of speaking where the Bible doesn't speak, in essence, okay? So a little leaven leavens a whole lump. In our scripture this morning, in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 5, it says a little leaven leavens a whole lump. And what is he talking there? I'm not going to go and read it again because of our time. But if you read it, we have a young man who's having a relationship with his stepmother. And the church at Corinth isn't doing one thing about it. And they're even boasting in the aspect of allowing that lifestyle to be a part of their fellowship. And the Apostle Paul is writing and making very clear to them that as far as he is concerned, my decision, my conviction is I'm going to commit him to Satan. Why? With the hope that he will repent. Okay? In other words, remove him. The fellowship have nothing to do with them. If you go on, you'll find that Paul said, I did not write to you that you were not to judge or it was the aspect of the world, because the world's already been judged. What he writes about, I'm telling you that you need to judge those who claim to be Christians, but yet are living in adultery, fornication, lying, etc. In fact, don't even eat with them. Oh, see, the church practiced that today, because I'm telling you, our churches are becoming filled with a lot of immorality today. God help me, help us all. Ever since Bill Clinton had his affair with Lewinsky, this country, statistically, it can be proven, has gone down the hill morally. More sexual immorality has become the light of this country, pornography and you name it, because of the example of a president of the United States of America. And don't kid yourself, a little leaven, just a little leaven, can leaven the whole nation. Nothing was done, nothing was said, nothing was in response to it. And we hear it all over the place today of what goes on. Brother, we need to know that when we allow a little leaven like that, little, just a little, I mean, the aspect of what it will do. I read somewhere, or I heard Lloyd say, or I heard it somewhere, one rotten apple left in a bushel of good apples will in time deteriorate the whole bushel. Isn't that right? Huh? Yeah, it is. Okay. So the aspect of that is that we need to be a man, woman, of integrity, and that we're living according to the books and the standards that are taught here, holy and righteous before God. Matthew 6:30, a familiar passage of scripture. This one relates to faith. Remember the aspect that Jesus said, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? O ye of little what? Little faith, little faith, okay? A little faith, a little of this, a little of that, little lump, a little of this, little of that. Little faith, oh, ye of little faith. How can you have little faith when you have a big God? When you have a God, you know, he specializes in the impossible, you know? Why don't you just take God and slap him in the face when you don't believe what he says in this book? Why don't we just be honest? Either we believe in a God who specializes, who loves his people, will care for his people, attend to his people's needs, do what he says he will do, or he's a liar. And he's not. No, God is a God of truth. He cannot lie. When he says he will do what he says he promises, he will do it. Why doesn't he do it? Because you don't have the faith to allow him to do it. Now, look at what the faith is. You know what he said, the illustration? He said, are you listening? If you just had the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you could say to the mountain, well, how big is the mustard seed? Huh? Not very big. God didn't ask you to have a lot of faith. He just simply says you need to have faith. Faith. The measure of faith is how much you really mean and put your trust behind your faith, that you really trust him. You really trust him that he will keep his word in every aspect. Just a little faith of a grain of a mustard seed. James 3:5, as you well know, it says also the tongue is a little part of the body, and yet it boasts of great thing. See how great a force is set aflame by such a little part? Man, how many people's lives have been destroyed because of that thing? You know why dogs have more friends than people? Because they wag their tails, not their tongues. You know how many lives have been destroyed because of what somebody said and so on and so forth, and how many people believed it and took it as gospel and never went back and researched whether or not it was true or not, whether there was validity in it or not. They just accepted it, okay? So that tongue, how many forests have been destroyed by a little spark, by a cigarette, by a campfire where a spark got up in a tree and all of a sudden the whole forest was destroyed. James says if you could control that thing, you control your whole body. If you have the power to keep what comes out of your mouth under control, but yet, you know what? The Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Think about that. But also think about this warning Jesus gave in Matthew 12:36-37. I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they will give an account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Don't think it's a little thing of what you allow to proceed out of your mouth, right? Huh? In fact, Ephesians says, let every word that proceeds out of your mouth administer grace upon the hearer for the purpose of edifying, building up. Let's be a builder upper. There's enough out there destroying down people's lives, isn't there? We need to build people up. Just a little bit of what comes out can make a whole difference in destroying somebody or getting them up out of whatever and motivating them to do and to move on in their life. And the last one, Luke 7:47, it warns about, and it is related to love, okay? Here's a woman washing Jesus' feet with her oil and with her hair, okay? And she's kissing his feet profusely. And the other disciples and those seeing it are condemning her for doing so because she's paying so much attention to her Lord. And this is what Jesus says to them. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. And for she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. Yeah, I found that to be true. You know, sometimes people who've been raised in a Christian environment all their lives and have never been really, really that bad, so to speak, and I'm not judging, I'm just saying reality. Sometimes their real true commitment and love for the Lord is not the same as somebody who lived in the gutter, who lived a life of sin and commitment, and then found the message of love in the scriptures and gave their life completely and were immersed into Christ and knew the forgiveness of God. And how many times you'll find they're the soul winners. They're the people out there doing something. They're the ones who speak up for the Lord, because one who has forgiven little loves little. He who has forgiven much loves much. Isn't that interesting? Just a little bit of difference, isn't it? When you think about it, a little here and a little there. Life may be made up of trivials, but life isn't trivial, is it? Huh? Serious, isn't it? So how about a little more appreciation? How about a little more encouragement? How about a little more smiles? How about a little more hugs? How about a little more, I love you? How about a little more of appreciation? You suppose just a little more of all those things added to a relationship could make all the difference in the world? Just a little more. Remember the little dabber, do you? Brill cream? Oh, I know. I'm telling you how old I am. But I remember it, and I used it. Didn't work. It didn't. But I do find this. A little bit more of hugs, love, smiles, appreciation, encouragement makes a lot of difference in people's lives. I love a smile of a baby, just a little smile. I love their giggles, just a little giggle. I love to watch them crawl when they're learning to crawl, and how some of them get right up on fours, and some of them go like this, and whatever. And this morning, they were having babies on news. There were six babies racing. And they had their parents down at the other end with enticing things like whatever. And those babies were just, some of them were just going like wildfire. I mean, they were just going on and on. But you see, what the point is on the other end, there was a little bit of something waiting for them. Right? You know that Jesus has won the race for you? He's already a forerunner. He's up there waiting for you. You know what? He's holding out an enticement of his love, his forgiveness, and everything else, because God wants to save you to the uttermost. That's what he wants. God didn't do just a little thing for us. God did an unbelievable big thing for us. And he let his son die for us. That's not small, that's big. And it should make all the difference in your life and mine. How much do you love him? How much do you really love God for all that he's done for you? You know? How much? A little? More? You know, when Paul wrote to the Hebrew writers, he says, I encourage you. I know you love one another, and I know you are. But he says, I challenge you to love one another even more. You see, there's always that room to grow a little more, isn't there? All that little more faith, a little more love, a little more here, a little more. Just a little more. Just give life a little more. Give your husband a little more. Give your wife a little more. Give your children. Give your grandchildren. Give people just a little more. And then realize what a blessing that little more can be. Amen? God be with you. Let's pray. Lord God,